Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back indeed. Thank you and welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man who always have a plan. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, unfortunately, he's my partner. Well,
yeah.
not my sexual partner. He's just my partner on the show.
No. It is Sean Black in the building once again. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, as always. And also on the third line I have, hold on 1 second, on the third line I have the lovely, talented Tisha on the line.
Hi, good night, guys. How are you?
Okay. You should have heard some of the most disgusting and deplorable things that the Hot Rod said about you all.
Oh, what? Look at Sean Black. He just got muted. I'm sorry. I don't know how did that happen, you know. I'll just figure out what to get back to Sean Black. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number to call for questions, thoughts, or comments is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Hold on, can I see if I can get Sean back. Sean, are you there?
How dare you cut me off when, I'm back. Yeah,
I did not cut you off. It was technical difficulties on the program. I'm terribly sorry about that.
Oh, that's the excuse you're using this week, huh?
But Sean Black, Tisha,
yes.
Are you ready to tell people like it is that piss people off?
Why not?
Yeah, let's tell it like it is.
All right. Before we go to our major topic, Sean Black have his rant of the week about Donald Trump. So let's get right to it. I'll give you a few minutes on the topic.
No rant of the
week. Oh, my gosh.
This is Hot Rod's idea. I didn't even want, and then we actually spoke about this off air just a little few hours ago, that I didn't even care to even want to talk about Donald Trump. But the only reason why that's going to happen is because it's going to go into our main topic at some point. But I'm gonna keep it as brief as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Sean Black, big announcement last week that Donald Trump and the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, will be meeting up in a couple of weeks. Do you see this meeting as something huge that's happening, as a step forward over overreaction, or we're still going to get our asses nuked anyway?
Well, the person you're talking about is Kim Jong-un is the one you're trying
Ooh.
To refer to. Exactly.
Ooh.
Yes, Un, not who, Un, okay? Basically, this entire deal was kind of a shock to everybody because nobody expected Trump or anyone from his administration to be even able to communicate something with the administration and the Kim Jong-un. And the entirety of this deal is supposed to be to help denuclearize the region, if possible, to get some sort of diplomatic talks, because all we've been hearing back and forth is a lot of rhetoric with crazy people that have something to rant about because they're getting themselves into a pissing contest. In essence, both have nuclear weapons, so we know where that's going. As far as to answer your question, it's big in the fact that it's actually gotten this far, because I don't believe any sitting U.S. president has ever had a meeting with somebody from North Korea, even going back to Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, or anybody previous to that. So it's big. Will it have any fruits from the labor? No. Not going to happen. And it's mostly just about a bunch of pondering, because Kim Jong-un, all he wants is legitimacy. The fact that these sanctions that the U.S. have put on and all of the other countries that have tried to put on in North Korea to keep this country from getting becoming a nuclear power. And all of those sanctions seem to have been working, but they're also getting help from China to help keep them afloat. This whole entire thing is mostly about Kim Jong-un and trying to get legitimacy. This is a crazy dictator, and all he wants right now is to continue to keep afloat amongst all of this chaos going on. And you got a president who's matching his crazy with Kim Jong-un's crazy, and who knows what happens afterwards.
Okay. Are you done ranting?
Oh, it's not a rant. It's just an explanation of what the heck is going on. I'm not going to give a rant on you-know-who.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job.
T, do you care about this meeting coming up? Or are you a little bit concerned?
I don't care about it. I don't even think it's going to even happen. I don't even think it's going to happen. So, can we move along?
Of course. Okay, well, now, T, I have a question for you that someone brought up to me and told me to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all right, Sean and I, we're from the old school generation, of course, and you're a young lady. But, you know, no roles been reversed. You know, guys want to do girl things, girls want to do guy things. Why do you think overall, from your opinion, of ladies that females now are getting on one knee and popping a question to the guys? Do you think it's okay or times are changing, or do you still think a little bit of the old school ways of a man proposing to a woman?
Okay, I am from the old school era. I'm not that much younger than you guys.
I don't want to give your age, okay? That's not my job.
I know.
Oh, boy. Don't step into the trap.
But traditionally, no, I still think that a man should propose to a woman. But then again, let's think about certain relationships, like you know, bisexual relationships, women proposing to women, men proposing to men. It's going to happen. You have to be realistic because this is the era that we live in.
Before I get to what do you think, Sean? I know your answer already, but you're the sensitive one, but go ahead, entertain me.
Well, the funny thing is, the first time that I had ever seen anyone from a male propose to a female, it was actually done on a TV show. You remember Who's the Boss with Tony and Angela? And Angela actually got down on her knee and proposed to Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought that was so different because you're always used to hearing about that. I have no problem with a female proposing to a male. The tradition is usually, like you just said, of a man getting on one knee and then proposing. I have no issue with either or, whichever you're comfortable with. Because there are some guys that are very uncomfortable with it because of that thought process of it's the man's job, the manhood will take a hit if I'm not the one doing the proposing and setting up the date and making sure that it's the night that she's going to remember, as opposed to the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, I know times are changing and everything, and, you know, people trying to step up the game, but I'm a little bit of the old school ways, and you know, and you guys know I have a little bit of an ego, a little bit. I do admit to that.
Only
overall.
A little bit. Just a skosh.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, of course, in the end, I always have the rule, you do whatever you want. But if I have to pick, I still have a problem with a woman proposing to a man. The mindset is different. You know,
okay.
The guy's not ready. Guy's not ready, period. You know, if he was ready to marry someone, I believe the man will have stepped up the game. And for a woman to do it, I'm not degrading a woman for doing it. It's more on a man part, you know, because I think when you see a woman proposing, I believe to a certain degree, they have different values or different ways compared to a man. Some females, if a female proposes, it's like, okay, she's ready to, you know, lock him in or try, you know, she feel lonely or low self-esteem. There could be so many, I could see so many niggas coming out, which should not be, that should not be the reason. But a lot of people would think that way compared to a guy. Like, if a guy proposed to her, to a woman, wow, he really must have loved her. I think the value is different coming from a woman to a man. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, you want to know the reason why you have that?
How about, mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how about the value of a long-lasting marriage? It doesn't really matter who proposes, but we're focused on a long-lasting marriage.
And plus, you're also going on the stereotype, as we've seen before, that everything is in this male-dominated world, that the male and all of those traditions from the old school 30, 100, 300 years ago, et cetera, whenever this started, is that the male is the provider, the male makes the money, the male, all of those old school and borderline chauvinistic thought processes go into play when it's the female who doesn't have the job, who is docile, all the other stuff, and the guy gets on his knee to propose marriage as a quote-unquote barter of ownership in a relationship. I think those days have gone away, where we're now men and women are getting so much closer and closer to being equal, and hopefully in pay soon. But in the eyes of the world, there are a lot of women that are doing the same, if not more, than men. And so if they want to feel equal in that sense, then you shouldn't feel any way if a female was to get down on one knee and propose to a male.
Yeah, but to some people, if a woman proposed to a guy, that, in some people, some females' point of way, that's like the ultimate ultimatum. Like, either you take it or you leave it type of thing. You know,
well, the same would probably be said if the shoe's on the other foot, too. Think about that.
You know.
The same logic that you have applied to the female getting on, because what you said earlier is, if a female is proposing, there must be a reason behind it, where she's maybe desperate, quote-unquote, I think from what you were saying, or there's something going on and she can't wait for the male to do it. And if you have that thought going in, then what other kind of preconceived notions are you subscribing to in that mentality? Because if you see a female, you can have a million different opinions from the male doing something with a female, and then flip it around when the female does that exact same action to a male. And the reasons are going to be varied, and a lot of them won't make sense. Some of them might make sense, but it's mostly due to the gender dominance of the position. And that's probably the issue that a lot of people will have to get over. Some people will never get over it.
Okay. Well, someone who tried to propose to me a while back is K-Dog, but I had to turn him down because I was not feeling right. K-Dog, what's your intake?
What's up, everybody?
Are you comfortable a woman proposed to you?
If a woman proposes to me, listen, to be honest, I would be shocked. But at the same time, I would accept it because, listen, we all know times are changing.
I'm being
honest, because you know why? Because there's a lot of dudes, there's a lot of females out there that are using this now, that are taking this first step. But it's okay for most men. It's gonna be kind of a weird situation, because it's like, wait a minute, I know I'm the one that usually drops down on one knee. I've never had a female propose to me, but for me personally, would I accept it? Yes, but at the same time, I would feel weird, because I know, I'm like, wait a minute, I know I'm supposed to be doing it. Okay, if it's a new thing, it's a new thing. You know, there's
okay,
a lot
me,
of
K-Dog.
New things that females are doing. Yeah, what's up?
You say you accept it, but you have like weird feelings about it. So in a way, are you saying that you're doubting yourself? I'm like,
No.
Why accept it if you have weird feelings about it?
Because you know why? Because this would be a first. This would be a first, because, you know, as a man, you know, and I'm not saying it in a sexist way, but, you know, I'm just saying, as a man, you'd be like, okay, I'm the one that's going to buy the ring, and I'm going to propose to her. But when she does it to you, it would be a shock, like, whoa, wow, what the hell? But then after.
But are you accepting it for the shock, or you're accepting it because, you know, you guys are in love, this is something that you wanted anyway, you know what I mean?
Call me sentimental, but I would accept it because I'm in love with her. Basically.
Okay. The other thing is, if you're looking at it in the eye of control, quote-unquote, or who's ready, 99% of the time in a relationship, the female is waiting for the male to make the proposal to make the jump. But
you're
usually,
right about that.
But usually in that whole entire relationship, it's been discussed, we do want to get married. We are going to get married. At some point, we're going to get married, and it's discussed. So whoever makes the proposal it's probably going to be, it's not like you can do on television and just spring it on somebody, especially if it's, you don't know whether the male will propose or the female will propose. Unless,
right.
Like, I can only go by my experience when I proposed to my now ex-wife.
Here we go.
Oh, you know, you wouldn't have this problem if you did the same thing one day. Maybe.
I'm busy, okay?
But anyway, what it was we discussed it. At some point, we want to go in this route. And when I started to go as far as with the rings, we were there, and I made the first payment with her there. So at least from that sense, she knew I was ready. But she didn't have to know when I was going to propose, and that was the case. In another instance with other people, they sometimes do that same thing. Although they discuss, here's the first payment, and now you know that I'm serious. Now you'll never know when, but it'll happen. You can do it in that way as well.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was sleeping while you was bragging your mouth, as always. I'm just saying, I agree with you, Sean, to a certain degree, but all I'm saying is times have changed. I personally don't see it. I won't be comfortable if a woman proposed to me. That's all, because it feels like I'm not the man. Yes, a woman could provide for a man and vice versa. But to first step in making a full commitment, I still believe the old-fashioned way of a man doing the way. Yeah, if they discussed it and you're like, you know what, Tisha, if you want to propose to me, go right ahead. I'm comfortable with it. I think something like this should be discussed first.
Here's another question.
And I'll ask
everybody to answer this one.
Right.
Most especially since we have three males up at the panel, I'll ask you this. We know
no
that
kidding,
we propose to somebody. I bring it up for this reason. If we know that we're going in this route and the female does propose, instead of it being symbolic, would you, if you were proposed to, actually wear an engagement ring as the male? Because usually the males give the engagement ring to the female to let all of the other people know that she's off the market. If she got the ring, would you wear the ring and say, look, I'm off the market? I'll ask any of the guys that are on this panel first and let me know what you
I would like to hear their answers.
Okay.
Oh, God. Go ahead, Kato. I'm about to cut Sean out.
Would I wear the ring? Well, you know, since it is something that both of us discussed and she proposed to me, hey, listen, look, if the ring looks good, hey, I'm wearing it. Hell, I'm wearing that ring.
If the ring was
screw
good. K-Dog, you still sound uncertain if you're even accepting this proposal.
Thank you.
You sound very unsure. You sound so.
No,
I would take my ring back, and I'm going to go get my money back, okay? You're not getting this ring.
No,
I'm taking this back. You're not ready, K-Dog.
In all seriousness, No, but in all seriousness,
you cannot have it both ways. You cannot and take the ring. That's not fair.
No. I'm not having any doubt.
Maybe
listen,
if it looks nice, especially if it looks nice.
I'm just saying, you know, but then after, but I will wear the ring. I will be proud to wear the ring that she gave me. Because I would want her to wear the ring that I gave her.
I swear, I'm not going to lie. And I know this will lead to my next topic later. But Sean Black and K-Dog, normally I don't say this, but both of you guys are being bitches tonight. I'm sorry.
No, they're not.
I'm being honest.
No.
I'm being honest.
You're wearing a ring?
I would,
please. So you're going to let
I would
a woman
wear that
buy
ring.
You 5,000? Oh, you go, so K-Dog, you tell me right now that you're going to let a woman, God bless her soul, buy your $5,000 ring, shock you, and proposal, but you have your doubts about it, but you're going to flash your ring around to us.
I didn't say I have doubts about it. My girlfriend bought me a ring. I'm just saying that I would be shocked, but at the same time, I would wear that ring. I'd be proud of that.
Okay, High Rod is ego tripping, and K Dog, you sound beyond unsure. Okay, you sound too unsure for me.
K Dog, it's okay. You don't have to do it to show off to anything like that. If you have your doubt, it's okay to talk about it with the partner. Like, listen, I'm not comfortable with this. You don't have to choose. You don't have to say yes or no. It's always good to talk it over with the person.
No, I would. I would talk it over.
The reason I call you guys bitches,
but I,
no, excuse me. Sorry, kid. The reason I say I call you a bitch because you sound uncertain of yourself. If you're not comfortable with it, it's okay. You know, it's not about ego. It's just like you shock value, but you have to talk it over with your partner overall. But then, hey, we don't talk about it now.
Right.
What are we going to say about
over?
This before? It's communication,
and
right?
Most of that is conditioned in the fact of these traditions that we've had, where it's been accepted for hundreds and hundreds of years that if somebody's going to get married, the male is going to be the one to initiate that quote-unquote contract between you and the female to lead to marriage, maybe children, family, and grow something together as a couple. That's usually how it's been accepted. But if the shoe is on the other foot, would you be able to go ahead and do the exact same thing, the same thought processes? Because if you think about it, female has to give up a lot when she gets into a marriage, for the most part, if you're going by the traditional sense, in the fact that she's going to lose her last name. In essence, unless she hyphenates it or she keeps it, maiden name, et cetera, she's going to take the male's name, and she's going to wear a ring that the male usually will not wear. So if the shoe's on the other foot, would you be comfortable enough in your own manhood and the way the male world views you, and if you would get that ring from her and have the same exact thing done with you?
Listen, my last name would not be Hot Rod Black,
I would not change.
My name would still be the same, okay? So in other words, if Tisha proposes to me, who's going to pay for the wedding? Tisha's father or my father? Let's think about that.
That would be discussed between the two of you. Because it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't always have to be the bride's family paying for everything else. It can be both. Because I've seen people that have gotten engaged and both went 50-50 with the wedding.
Family.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen.
All right.
Look.
Let me go on to the next topic because I don't want to embarrass K-Dog and Sean any longer. But this is a serious topic because this is something that, like I told Sean Black earlier, I don't care what anybody said. This is something that everyone has been guilty of to a certain level in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of society. It's part of human nature. And originally I brought this up because we've been talking about the Me Too moment, sexual assaults, all this sex thing that's been going on with Weinstein, Matt Lauer. I don't think people realize there's a thing called rape culture that's going on in society today. And rape culture is a term that was coined by feminists in the United States back in the 1970s. It was designed to show the ways in which society blamed its victims of sexual assaults that was created by male sexual violence. So before we get more into it, Sean Black, what is the definition of rape culture?
Well, the full definition is it's an environment whose prevailing social attitudes have the effect of normalizing or trivializing sexual assault and abuse. That's the most basic form. But within rape culture, there are so many different subsections that you can go by. You know, we've heard the term slut-shaming, victim blaming, there's actual rape involved, there's insults, there's all kinds of different things within the actual umbrella of rape culture. But the rape culture that we're talking about as far as this goes is, if you look at the way males are celebrated and lauded in society, when we're talking about politicians, athletes, celebrities, prominent, powerful business people in general, even just a regular, normal male person that is at a job, there seems to always have been and always will be a disconnect in the double standard that goes along with how a male is treated in the eyes of the world as opposed to a female. Females have to work twice as hard. Females have to do certain things and be pristine and then not complain about certain things when some sort of egregious attitude or action happens towards them.
I'm sorry, excuse me for 1 minute, please. We have a new caller, 612-407. You on the air?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. How are you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right.
Are you going to propose to me? I take it.
Oh, Lord.
Wow, okay. Now, I'm just going to say, with the last topic that was brought up, I just wanted to ask you guys, do you really think that women in America honestly really have it that bad, the way it's been presented in the media?
As far as which
I like
way?
To ask.
Hello?
In which way, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, in which way do you think?
Yeah,
I mean,
in the way,
what
like,
do you mean
for
by
example,
having that?
Okay, like in the way that you brought up, when you brought up, for example, rape culture, or in the last statement when the guy said how men are held up in a certain way and women have to, you know, try twice as hard and, you know, and they have to do more just to be accepted or to be put on the same level. And I just, my question is, compared to the rest of the world in general, do women in America really honestly have it that bad? I mean, I'm just being honest here.
Okay.
Tisha, hold on. Tisha, is a lady here?
Oh,
you answer.
Yeah, I would like to actually answer that for you guys. First of all, with rape culture, that's also something that was going on since 4,000 years ago, since like ancient Babylon. There was something called the Code of how can I pronounce it?
Hammurabi.
Thank you. So Hammurabi. So you know of that? A set of social laws, like 300 social laws. Women are not believed due to the fact of, like Sean Black said, certain statures of the person that they're accusing. There's certain things that, let's say, cops may say, why didn't you report this as soon as it happened? So we could have got, let's say, semen specimens and so forth, things like that. So I feel like, yes, we do have it that bad. I think it's also saying, oh, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. I've seen some slut walks from 2015 in Toronto that was also brought to light out there as far as rape culture and how the protesters that were bringing rape culture to light were kind of like shunned from this protest. So same thing happened with Amber Rose when she does her slut walk every year and so forth. Certain things are brought to light. It's like, oh, you're a hoe anyway, so you deserve to have gotten raped. So, yes, I think women all around, not just in the U.S., have it bad. We're not believed. We're perceived by, I might wear a low-cut shirt, I'm a slut, you know what I mean, and things like that. So, God forbid, if something happened, who's to believe me? You were promiscuous anyway. You deserved it. It's that stigma behind it that needs to be brought to light as far as the culture goes.
So when you brought up the issue of the police, for example, you said how the cops would say, well, why didn't you report it sooner so they could add a semen sample? You feel like that's
mm-hmm.
a negative that the cops would say that?
I feel like that is a negative because some victims are scared to even report it.
Right, but don't
that's
you feel like the cops...
Any, mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so, are you willing to admit that there are some women that actually make false accusations as far as rape goes, as far as accusing somebody of sexually assaulting them?
According to statistics, it's very low percent, 2% or 8% up to.
Okay, but it does happen, though, right?
It does happen, that small, small percentage. Of course it does happen. That's no different than somebody saying, oh, I got robbed or I got mugged. You know,
right.
People
so
lie
case,
with certain things. Don't forget that.
No, I understand that. All I'm saying is that from the cops' perspective, the reason they're saying
mm-hmm.
that is because that's conclusive evidence that they can prove rather than it becoming just a simple he said, she said thing. Then it just comes
right,
down to who do you believe.
Yes, and that shouldn't only be just that evidence.
Well,
that's
what
my
point. What other way could you definitively prove something other than it just being one testimony versus another? In that
possibly,
case.
Let's say, video cameras. We can't actually see what happened. Let's say if somebody followed the person to their apartment and entered the apartment with them, we don't know exactly what happened. And it's a shame because they're looking for that type of solid evidence to believe the person. I really think it's unfair.
So, like in the case of Kobe Bryant back in 2004, when the woman
mm-hmm.
accused him of raping her, and they found out that she had 8 different semen samples in her when they went and checked it out. You think that maybe would have been that kind of helped out the situation as far as finding out what really happened?
and you said they found out, because I'm not familiar with everything with that case, to be honest with you. So, yeah, that I don't really know if they found semen samples and so forth. I don't know.
I think overall with that case, with the Kobe Bryant case, I think a case like that, because I remember that case very well, it was something consensual. If I'm not mistaken, it was a hotel employee who went to the room, which is not really her department because Kobe Bryant won the room service. She went to the room, and they had sex. And you know what? Kobe Bryant probably kicked her out, like, listen, you're done. She probably wants something in return, and that happened. So she called.
She cried rape.
Kobe
Bryant. I remember that case.
She cried rape. What really happened, because let's be honest, all the time, athletes that go out on the road have sex, you know, with different partners.
Yes, they do.
All the time. You know,
and here's the part that adds to that. And that is just, and that's a perfect example of what you brought up with the Kobe Bryant case. She was, I don't know if she either settled out of court or there wasn't enough evidence or whatever was the case, but Kobe apologized for cheating on his wife. And
he
did whatever he could. As a matter of fact, his wife had filed for divorce, but they then later reconciled and they've been still married ever since. But the thought process that you brought up is what you stated. 8 different semen samples involved.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi. Hello?
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 Yeah, you got to call on the line. You got to call on the line.
Yes, call. 347-210. Yes, you're there.
Yes, this is caller Rima.
Hey,
I just want to give a shout out. Hi.
Hey.
I want to give a shout out to everybody on the show.
Thank you.
What's up?
Hi.
Thank you.
Hey. All right. So, I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what Tisha said, and there was another caller. I don't know if he's still on the line, but he asked, "Do women really have it harder than men in society?" And I think that's a question that a man would ask, because a man doesn't have that experience in the same way that a white man doesn't have the same experience as a black man, in order to know what that feels like. Number one, I got something specific to talk about, and that's police brutality, right? And what people don't know is that for women, police brutality is sexual abuse. Rape culture within the police department, within the correctional department.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I've heard of that. Yep.
Yeah, we hear you.
Right. So I want to talk about a book called Invisible No More, and I would refer this book to everyone if they want to take a look at it. It's by Andrea Ritchie.
No More by Andrea Ritchie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's called Invisible No More. And what the author does is she makes the stories of all these women of color in particular, black women and women of color in particular, she makes all of their stories visible, meaning that all the other men that were victims of police brutality, there's hundreds and hundreds of women that were also victims of police brutality in the same way, and most of them suffered sexual abuse and rape by officers.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's been a lot of those cases, but those cases don't really make it into the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
It only appears in a sentence, and it's happened many, many, many times involving the police. As a matter of fact, there was one case where a police officer had arrested a woman, I think she, for whatever reason, while she was sitting in the back of the police car, she was being sexually molested by one of the police officers while she was in handcuffs. And he was making sexually explicit comments towards her.
Well,
I just
want to
say something in reference to that real quick, Hot Rod, because you know, people also look at it as, okay, you're in a correctional facility and you're found guilty anyway, so I could do whatever I want to you because you're a piece of crap anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So as a correctional officer, I have the power. You know what I mean? Or let's say as an inmate that's been there for 25, 50 years, I have the power to rape you, do whatever I want to you.
All right, I just want to go back to the gentleman's question about the way women are being treated. Is it worse in this country compared to around the world? Like other girls, like in other countries, like the Middle East, the Muslim females, the way they get treated. Is it better in the United States? I'm like, yes, rape culture is bad. Don't get me wrong. Females are struggling all around the world. But doesn't ladies in America have a little bit better compared to other females around the world?
Do you really think so, or do you think it's pacified also in other cultures due to the fact that they hold a different standard?
Right.
I think it's a little. I think hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't know the whole answer to this. But I'm being honest, I think you ladies have a little bit better. It's still bad overall. It's still a struggle. No doubt about that.
It's more than
today,
a little bit. That's for sure.
Is.
It's not a little. It's a lot better. Like take Saudi Arabia, where women just recently allowed women to start driving. Like
exactly.
Right. Mean, come on.
In other countries, hold on one second.
Excuse me. Ladies today could work, you know, drive, do a lot of things. And you know, at least there's billionaires in America. Yes, it's still a struggle. Yes, there's progress that needs to be made. But I'm just saying, overall, it's better now than it was a long time ago and to other countries. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Yeah, because like I was saying, in reference to other countries, like here in the United States, yes, Hot Rod, there is the battle for equality is still being fought for women, especially in terms of being paid and all. But there's a lot of women here who have the opportunities to do whatever. But in other countries, the women's opportunities are very, very, very limited, because there are some countries, like in, let's just say in India, where a young girl is brutally raped and nobody seems to care. In places like in Saudi Arabia, where women are being mistreated, there are places in the world, and you know, in the world where women are like treated so badly. The women are treated like they're the servants. They're not supposed to be doing this. They're not supposed to be doing that. And yet the husband could do whatever, because yes, husbands do rape their wives. They rape their wives. Their wives become their slaves.
Right, and is it more normalized due to the standards of the country, where it's kind of like hush hush, let's keep this under wraps, that this goes on in our country? That's my thing, where we're more public with it, where we have marches about this and things like that, where they are unable to protest in certain countries as women.
Well,
you know what I mean? So
it's also because women there are second-class citizens. They don't even have even the most fundamental rights are not even equal with men.
Right.
Whereas in America, women have the vast majority of rights is exactly the same as men. Now, you can talk about things in the workplace, things of that nature, but in general, it's almost identical. And even more than that, if you get into the actual recent data, if you look at the college actual, like, the enrollments in colleges right now, it's overwhelmingly women way more than men. And all the major economic statistics, if you look at, especially the younger generation, people under the age of 30, women are dominating the younger men significantly. They're better educated. They're getting better-paying jobs. They're outperforming men in a lot of categories. So what we're witnessing is this next generation, there's already being a massive shift happening. And so what I'm trying to point out is that instead of getting caught up in this consistent, nonstop desire to want to victimize everybody in America, let's just be frank about the matter. It's not anywhere near as bad as it is in this country for the vast majority of their people in this country. And people just want to portray themselves as this constant victim to excuse their own personal failure. I'm just being honest.
Okay.
You got to be real about
that. I want to jump in on this one.
I'll take you back
to something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where there was a Florida woman who, at age 11, was forced to marry a rapist. These are the kinds of things that just happened. That law actually was just changed this past week. As it was, her name was Sherry Johnson, and she worked on getting legislation to pass a bill for prohibiting marriage for anyone in the state under the age of 17. What would happen is somebody would get raped, female gets raped or gets pregnant, et cetera, and what would happen is that the person that was the perpetrator was the person that would initiate marriage to keep her quiet. These kinds of things only happen to women in this country when we hear of these kinds of things. Now,
right.
I'm not saying that children in general, males,
but,
don't
but
have
how frequently?
Discrimination. It happens a lot more than I think is being reported. And in this sense, and I'll give you the statistics in this, in Florida, just in the last few years, there were well over 1,000 child marriages in Florida between 2012 and 2016. 1,828 marriage licenses issued for people that were a minor, 13, 14, 15 years old. 13 years old, 7 people were 14, 29
mm-hmm.
were 15. This only happens in this country at that time for this with females. So when you ask if it's one of those things where is
well,
it
that
better,
happens in the Middle East
it,
too.
If it's better than in
that,
other countries where people actually die or can be killed over certain things, I guess it depends on what subjectively you look at as better. Because
in general,
it's still bad.
But it's obvious. It's obvious
hold on.
To everybody on this line. Everybody on this line knows that America, compared to the vast majority of the world, with a few exceptions, has the most amount of freedom, the most amount of opportunity, and it's not even close, regardless of what gender or race you are. And to even act as if, well, you know, it's kind of the same, and you know, there are certain cases where you can compare it. Come on, man. We all know that's BS.
Okay.
What are we talking? Because
yeah.
if that's the case, can you name me any other country on the planet that you would switch your citizenship to be in that country instead of being in America?
Brazil, because I just love Brazil. I want to die in Brazil because I love the women down there.
Man.
But that's just me.
But do you like Brazil's economy compared to America's economy?
No, you really like that? No.
Well, then that's my point.
Okay, I want to go back to the last caller. I'm sorry, I did not get your name. Please forgive me. The 347.
Yeah.
My question to you is, and Tisha brought this up to me. With the Me
Too
movement,
her name was
Rima.
I think I heard
Rima.
Her say
Rima.
Yes.
Rima.
With the Me Too moment that's going on right now, and Tisha brought this question to me. I love this question. Thank you. Do you see this as a movement forward, or just a trending right now that will die down sooner or later?
Now, I think the time is up. I think the time is up, and women are feeling more empowered to speak out about what once was the rape culture, which once was the culture, the norm.
Excuse me, Rima. Don't forget, men also are speaking up because men get victimized too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, and people should, because at the end of the day, you know, women, when they're powerless or they don't feel empowered, they allow certain things to happen to them, comments to be made, groping, doing favors for their boss that they know they shouldn't be doing, but they want to stay employed, and it creates a hostile environment. And then when that woman pulls that gun out and blows somebody's brain out, she's going to prison for 25 to life, because domestic violence is real, but that also happens in the workforce, and nobody asks that woman why she did what she did.
Wow. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Before I go on, like I said before in the beginning of the program, that everybody's guilty of rape culture to a certain level. Like, Sean Black is better than know me. I crack up sexual jokes all the time. It's nothing new. But it's like, okay, perfect. Let me tell this quick story before I go on. Friday night, Tisha knows some of the people that I hang out with Friday night. And tell me this is an example of rape culture. This lady, one of our friends, she was wearing like a low-cut shirt, and her underwear was sticking out. Okay, one of the guys saw her, said something to her, they cracked up a few jokes. Then he took out a dollar and put it on the side of the G-string that was sticking out.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was like a joke.
Wow.
And I was looking at him like, really? You just did that? Like,
wow.
In front of all of us, you know? I did not say anything, because I don't know the lady like that. But I look at him like, yo, I can't believe we really did that, especially what's going on right now.
To put that out there, listen, part of it has to take responsibility.
Hello?
For example, I know this could be looking as a joke, but let's just be real. Let's say somebody goes out there dressed up as a police officer, and you come running up to them and say, oh, police officer, we have an emergency. We need you over here. And you say, oh, excuse me, just because I'm dressed this way doesn't mean I am a police officer. It's the same thing. If you dress in a certain type of manner, it puts yourself out there, whether you like it or not. It implies a certain thing. Now, you may think, oh, that's not right, or that's sexist, or that's a double standard, but it is what it is. And for women to sit there and say, like, how dare men look at us sexually when we dress in a certain type of manner is ridiculous. I mean, I just don't understand why women don't sit there. What you just said
as doing my research earlier, that's something that came up. That they said are certain stigmas when people are joking, when people, just like you said, I'm dressed a certain way, so you're entitled to treat me that way. Those are the stigmas that's part of that whole rape culture, that people think it's okay.
Why is it okay for women to dress in a promiscuous way, and it's wrong for anyone to look at them a certain type of way if you're putting yourself out there like that?
You're going to look. You have eyes to look. But as far as what's going to be your reaction, I deserve to be raped because I'm dressed like that? No.
I never said that. My point is that.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's part of the rape culture. That's how rape culture evolved, is what I'm saying. Like normalizing rape, making excuses for it, saying I behaved improperly, being promiscuous, or I'm dressed promiscuous. These are the stigmas that I'm saying that
or
come
what
up.
You used to, what
how,
you used to hear is that, oh, you deserved it because you wore X, Y, and Z. That would normally be the thing you would hear.
Can I add something else? Like, let's just say, the way we condone, and also the way that we condone sexual violence through everyday language. You know, that should come up too with that.
There's a reason why in the past, for example, a lot of schools were segregated to keep boys and girls apart. A lot of workplaces were that way. Because to have men and women working together, going to school together, doing all these things together, in and of itself is a risk. And to have men working with women is like having grizzly bears working with salmon dipping. The women understand that men, a lot of men, are uncontrollable sexual monsters that have over themselves. That's the reality.
May I say something real quick about that? Because you also have how you said things are segregated. You also have, let's say, in Catholic schools, for example, boys in one school, let's say, and girls in one school, and these boys are being molested by priests or whatever the case may be. You've heard of many stories like that. So what would you say to that form of rape culture? These things happen. It has nothing to do with the way the boy was dressed and so forth. That's my point. That person thinks they have the power to do what they can.
I'm not defending rape at all.
I'm just saying, with all these things behind rape culture.
As a woman, you have to take some responsibility in minimizing risk by the type of people.
I would definitely teach
my daughter, for example, you're not going to go to a party and get drunk hanging out with certain group of people that you don't know or don't trust. I would never even allow her to do that because you're opening yourself up to the risk. That's just a fact.
Excuse me, guys. Excuse me, I won't go back to Rima. Rima. Talk about double standards. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tisha.
No, that wasn't me. That was Rima about to talk.
Yeah, Rima, go ahead.
I just wanted to say something to the comment that a lot of men believe, and this is the reason why they feel like it's acceptable to behave the way that they behave, putting dollars in a woman's G-string because you shouldn't be dressed like that. Number one, I feel like that statement is ignorant. Number one, I'm going to tell you why. Because everybody knows that bullying is unacceptable, right? And bullying operates in the same way that rape does, because it's not about a sexual feeling. It's about power. It's about a man feeling powerless, and that's his way of gaining power. So if you're telling me that a little kid is considered a quote-unquote lame in school and he dresses like a quote-unquote lame in school, is that acceptable for him to be bullied and pushed around in school? And if
that's not
acceptable, then you can't say that it's acceptable for a man to grope or do whatever he wants to a woman just because it's based on the way that she's dressed.
I never said that it was acceptable for women to do that. What I'm saying is that women, when did it become acceptable for women to dress in some of the most illicit ways we see now, where it's like there's no shame at all? I mean,
but I think the issue here is it used to be
that modesty was a good thing. I don't know where that just went out the window.
You want to know what the issue with that statement is?
Go ahead, Sean Black.
Yeah.
The issue with that, I understand where you're coming from, but I think what the issue here is the fact that you can – have any female can have the freedom to dress whichever way she wants. She also knows that whatever she's wearing is going to elicit a response, whether it's negative or positive. And I think most women
right.
would accept that as the main issue. The problem here is when any male or any female crosses that line between what is acceptable to say to someone or to
mm-hmm.
react in a certain way without going past that border where you have crossed the line of that person's personal space or et cetera, based on the fact that you're going for what she's wearing. And then to actually go and then use the radioactive language and things of, oh, you'd be slut-shamed and say, well, you amount to nothing because you're wearing this, and what would your parents think if you were... That is where the issue is, and that's part of the whole rape culture discussion,
and,
I think.
Okay.
And that's where I come on. Hey, wait a minute. Can I say something? No, but like I was saying earlier about the way that people condone sexual violence through everyday language, and that's where the dressing part comes because, you know, especially when as a man you see a female wearing scantily clad clothes, some men can't control themselves. They got to say something like, oh, man, I'd love to take that down. Or, you know, what is she wearing? And, of course, you know, with the slut shaming and also placing the blame, like let's just say something happens, they're going to blame the woman for it. Oh, if she wasn't wearing that, then if she wasn't wearing that, then this wouldn't happen to her. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
And then
that's
guys,
what's going
guys,
on
with the guys being on the panel and for the caller, the gentleman, I would also like to ask a question. Let's say if it was a male and he's wearing nice tight pants and something's bulging out, and a female says something to him in reference to that, that would fall under the same category that we're talking about tonight. So don't
yeah,
think that just because you
right.
know guys might even wear a nice shirt, his chest is bulging, his arms, they're looking good. These things happen, too, and it falls under the same category that we're talking about. Is it his fault because he's fit and toned, has his
no.
ass showing, or whatever, you know what I mean?
It's because the woman isn't a threat to physically assault, you know, the man the same way a man could do it to a woman. And I said before, if anyone else on the line has children, right, I have a young boy and a young girl, I would never let my uh-huh. daughter go out dressed like smile. Like some of these women do, and I don't understand when that became okay. And anyone on this line who has a daughter, are you okay with your daughter going out and dressing any type of way? I mean, what kind of a parent would do let that happen?
Okay, I need to throw this in there. Then I have to go to another caller. So to the ladies, I got a quote from my producer saying that we live in a society that teaches don't get raped instead of
mm-hmm.
don't rape. How do you feel about that quote?
What about both? What about don't rape and don't dress in a promiscuous manner? How about that? How about that's not on the table?
Well, here's another thing. There are a lot of people
that don't dress
yeah. provocatively and still get raped. It's not necessarily
right.
exactly.
and that's
putting
wrong
it
too.
Out there. I understand your point as
that's
far as
too.
You don't want to poke
oh,
the bear if that's what you're
okay.
thinking as far as that goes. But at the same,
yeah.
at the same time, it's not always about that. Rape has always been about power. And that's where that's
okay.
that's
it is
right.
It's like that power's
been there. I have to go to the next quarter right now. 877, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Sapphire.
Sapphire,
how are
you, Sapphire?
Hey, what's up?
Jumping on the conversation on everything that you guys are saying. Shout out to Tisha on everything that you're saying. But I did want to make a comment to the other caller on the line. I think he's a guy. I'm not sure his name. But
mm-hmm.
in respect to you guys' conversation about women and dressing promiscuous and it being something that is attracting negative attention, how do we associate rap culture with rape culture? Because when you think about
yes.
and you look at rap mm-hmm. video, men
you know,
constantly talking about women and what is sexy to be
mm-hmm.
for women to express themselves as. So when women are looking at this and they're seeing, oh, I have to dress a certain way to be looked at and to be considered to look at, what do you think when you have the youth around dressing more sexy and thinking that men is going to look at me?
And I'm, you know,
I'm sorry,
I'm glad
Sapphire.
You brought that up.
Sorry, Sapphire. You was breaking up a little bit.
Yeah,
can
Sapphire,
we,
you were breaking
can
up.
Can we recap what you said? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let her talk for a minute. Can we recap what
no,
you
I'm
said? You was breaking
talk.
Up a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. A little better?
Still sound a little
sorry.
Bit muffled.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say,
but
she was talking about
rap culture with the rape culture. How do you
and also there's something else too.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up that I'm glad that she brought that up about the rap culture. You know, with also the pattern of normalizing and excusing violence against women in the entertainment industry, that's a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a problem, especially with the way the videos are being made. It's like, let's just say it's growing day by day. You look at social media now, and you look at the rap videos. Yes, you're gonna see the normalizing of sexual violence. Like, it's okay to be that way. It's okay for that man to have that power. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. All right, and now we got 4 minutes left. I'll give it to the main event himself, Brother B. Brother B, how do you feel about rap culture overall?
What you
up,
said
Brother
rap
B?
Or rape? What up, everybody?
You know what?
Hey, brother.
No, normalizing the rape culture, condoning it.
You know, Hot Rod is sober right now. That's the reason why he's stumbling over his words. So you have to pardon him.
I'm just going to go for the jugular.
Okay.
We didn't start it. We didn't start the fire. You know what I'm saying? This country,
what do you
once
mean
again,
by we? But you mean by black people? Not
Listen. Let's take it. Let's take it back. How did they break down the black people? How did they break down the black men? How did all those these little, you know, the certain things they don't put in history, how they were raping the men in front of the women, in front of the kids to break them down? You know what I'm saying? We didn't start
right slavery.
So
times,
if you're gonna point the finger at somebody, if you're gonna point the finger at somebody, point it at the savages that started it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a learned behavior, and some of us had to learn it from somewhere. I'm not saying it didn't happen back in Africa, but I tell you one thing: where's the documentation of it? But we know the documentation of what happened here.
Oh,
and simple and plain, this country,
this
country has been built off of violence, built off the degradation of women, and drugs and everything basically ungodly. So it's like, what do you really expect? Of course, they want to condone it because certain people want to condone it because they want to keep doing it.
That's what I'm saying. And they're making it acceptable. They're making it normal.
I'm so sorry, but I need Sapphire to talk. We got 2 minutes left.
All right,
go ahead,
Sapphire.
Yes, it definitely is a root from the beginning about where, you know, you have the white for all sorts of.
Are you breaking up?
Yeah, we can't hear you, Sapphire.
I'm so sorry.
Can you hear me a little better?
Yeah, we can.
Speak up a little bit.
Okay.
You need to speak up.
So I'm So I'm agreeing with what he is saying, because it definitely did stem from the beginning when we were in slavery and we had the white man absolutely raping the black woman in secrecy. So it can be a learned behavior, absolutely. But can we continue to blame it on that? Where do we step back and actually look at ourselves and say how we have a part in it now in today's society?
I think a lot of people know its
origin. Hold on. Sean, tell me, Sean, but I won't go back to the caller from Minnesota. But so we actually said that we have a minute left.
Hello?
I'll just say briefly, and to the other lady, I apologize, I don't know what your name was, I'm sorry, but when you brought up the point of women looking at rap videos and different things in culture, I would hope that none of us get our morality or our worldview or our value system from what we see in culture, rather from your parents and from your family, from your community. And when we as a society start to disregard certain cultural taboos that were in place in our society as boundaries to keep people from doing.
Hello?
I don't know what.
That's what kind of America is about. America's about that. It's about breaking down everybody's culture except for its own.
No, but I'm saying specific to the black culture. The black community in the past used to have a higher standard of how we conducted ourselves. And the idea that women, if you go back in the day, you talk to somebody who lived in the 40s, 50s, 60s, it was unheard of for a black woman to dress promiscuous, even sexually. They weren't even known for being quote-unquote freaky. It was something that people thought white women did.
But it's not about the dressing. It's happening whether they're dressed promiscuous or not. That's the point.
No, what I'm saying is you got to minimize risk.
Time is up, guys. I'll tell you, sorry. We might continue this again next Monday night right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. This is a very powerful show. Thank you all, Sean, Rima, Tisha, the guy from Minnesota, Mother B.
Thank you.
And Sapphire, thanks so much. Have a good night, guys.
Hey, you're
and,
welcome,
you know
Hot Rod.
God bless you all. Good night, you all.
Yes.
You're welcome. Take care.
Good night,
everybody. The pleasure
thank
was
you.
All yours.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.